Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show, the place where we dissect social media strategies entrepreneurs are using to build their brand, go viral, and make a massive impact. Let's dive on in.
Welcome to another episode of The Rachel Peterson Show. You guys, today I have a real treat for you as we get to know the man who is actually responsible for me getting involved in podcasting. That is none other than the Louise Congdon. And he has an incredible story for us. He actually went from being homeless and sleeping on a friend's couch to being a successful podcaster who actually meets with influencers from around the world. But I'm not going to spoil this interview for you. I want to dive on in and actually hear what Louise has to share with us. Louise, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
It's so good to hear. Now, one of the things that I want all of my listeners to know is that Louise is actually a part of the major reason why I got into podcasting. It was a late night conversation where we were messaging about podcasting and how it has transformed his life. And it's been such a huge part of the growth that you've had in your career. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yes. And you were the one who actually gave me the big push. You said, "Why aren't you podcasting yet?" So without further ado, this is why the Rachel Peterson Show is around. And so I have you to thank for that.
Thank you. I'm really excited for this show that you've got going on. I think it's going to be a big contribution. And, you know, when you couple podcasting with social media, you really have a powerhouse. Because unlike social media, a podcast is something that you get to own, you get to use it, it's yours, and it doesn't fade out. You know, I love social media. I think social media is fantastic for selling, making money, growing your brand. So this isn't in any way me knocking it. This is just me admitting to the fact that everything in life has a pro and a con, right? And one of the pros of social media is quick, it's simple, and you can connect with so many people so quickly. One of the cons, though, is that you don't own the content and it phases out really quickly. So you could write a Facebook post that's awesome and, you know, get 1,000 likes or whatever, a couple hundred comments. Next week, it's done. It's done. It's just people may find it here and there throughout the month, but really it's kind of gone. But with something like a podcast interview, you can tweet it out, you can Instagram it, you can Facebook it, you can Pinterest it. And yes, it's going to kind of fade out in all those areas, but it's also something that you own on your website. So that education and that piece of beauty, that content, that art that you created is something that people can find for years to come, and it doesn't get completely drowned out. And then you can bring it, revive it back in social media. So now you've got this really complementary machine that helps you attract people, attract clients, attract connections, So I want to say that. I know I'm kind of taking over there, but I got excited about that.
I love that. Get excited, please. Now, you speak a lot about podcasting and how it's helped you to really establish yourself as an expert. I know we hate that word in general, but as an expert and as an influencer in many different spaces, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, podcasting it's a powerhouse. You know, right now, podcasting is growing very fast. A lot of people are coming into podcasting. So the way I look at podcasting is kind of like there was this blog rush. You know, the gold rush was like everybody wanted gold. Everybody was going to Alaska and all the states where there's gold. And then the blogging rush is everybody starts hearing about these bloggers that out of nowhere, they're making a lot of money. And whoa, like blogging is serious. We should get into it. And there's the YouTube rush, right, where all of a sudden, people were starting to make a lot of money. Well, podcasting is that thing right now. It's the hot thing that everybody's looking at. And the people that get into it now are more likely going to be the people that everyone else aspires to be, because the more flooded a market gets, the harder it is to stand out. And right now, you know, Rachel and everybody listening, if you're in podcasting, you're getting into it, then you're getting in on the rush early enough that all the other people that are hearing about podcasts just as listeners, they're going to be attracted to you. They're going to listen to you. And then soon this rush is going to be so big that people are going to be like, no, I listen to Rachel's show. Like there's like 50 other shows coming out every week about the stuff, but I'm a fan of Rachel's and I don't really need to check out other stuff. And that's the benefits of getting into the rush early on.
I think that's such a good insight. It is. It still does feel early in the podcasting game. Some people obviously have been going at it for years, and obviously it's paid off. But I still think it's early enough to get involved in podcasting and really step that up in that avenue. I'd love to hear from you, Luis. What is it that podcasting has really done for your business?
Podcasting has given me something that I can use on social media, and I want to bring it back to social media because this is something that a lot of podcasters don't understand, is that you can't just build a show and they will come, right? So great movie, great slogan, build it and they will come. But in my experience, it hasn't been the thing. It's more like build it and then you better start screaming and telling everybody that you built it so that they will come. So starting a podcast, starting a blog site, starting a YouTube channel is kind of like starting a building in a broken down, dilapidated neighborhood and in an alleyway, right? So there's no traffic, nobody's right. walking by, nobody's going to learn about you. So you better find a way to yell out loud enough. And social media has made yelling so simple that you don't have to get all crazy and vocal and nuts about it. But you do need to get vocal about it and you do need to share it. So what podcasting gave me is something to yell and share about on social media. And it gave me something that people on social media would care about, because a lot of people, when they go to social media, they're like, yeah, I'm a life coach. Come and check me out. Like, dude, that's not interesting to me. You know, everybody else is a life coach. Everybody else is a fitness coach. But when I said, hey guys, I just did an interview with Rachel on my podcast. It was fantastic. We talked about how you can blow up your business with free social media strategies. Here's the link. And let me tell you about Rachel, and then I can include something about her. People, oh, well, cool. Yeah, I never heard about this Rachel person. Let me check that out. Or, oh, yeah, I know who Rachel is, which is like, that is one of the biggest benefits of having a podcast if you're doing interviews is, you know, yesterday I'm interviewing Jack Canfield, Elliot Haltz, Marion Williamson. Like, I've done that all in like 1 week where I interviewed all these huge stars. And so then I go to social media and I'm like tagging those people so their audience is seeing. So I said, whoa, wonderful interview with Elliot Haltz. He just blew me away on how to run a fitness business. Now, everybody who's a fan of Elliot Haltz sees that and goes, oh, okay, who's that guy? And then, you know, I do something about Marion Williamson and Jack Canfield and Robert Kiyosaki. So people see that and they're blown away. Like, man, who is this Luis guy? He knows all these different people. So eventually I have their trust, right? Because they need to see me enough times. They don't just trust me right away. So they see that the trust is there. They click on the links. They go over to my website. Now social media has effectively worked to get them from social media over into my business and to build the trust from social media over to my website, so then a sale can be made. So you have networking, right, which is a podcast. Then you have content, which is a podcast, and it's some of the best content that you can create, and it's easily consumable compared to doing YouTube, which I think YouTube is a powerhouse. It's a machine, but it is like any well-honed machine. The more polished that machine is, the more likely it's going to be hard for you to really get into it. So with YouTube, you need a camera, you need a mic, you need editing equipment, you need software, you need to understand how to use that software, and then you need to understand how to go into YouTube and actually rank, because it's such a high competitive field now. We're looking at, you know, there's billions of videos now on YouTube, so, and billions of people, right. So it's really hard to stand out. I think something like every minute there's like 100 or 1,000 new videos being uploaded to YouTube. Oh, so by the end of the day, you know, you've got like 50,000 new videos. Now that's the next day. So by the end of a week, you know, you're talking about well over a million videos being uploaded. I know my math isn't the greatest there, but the main thing I'm trying to say is YouTube is very high competition. I still think that people should be there. But when you're new and you're trying to start something and you're trying to set yourself apart from everything, or if you've been in an industry for a while and you're crushing it in one area and you want to grow the brand even more, well, podcasting really offers you an opportunity to get into a market that's new, and yet there's this huge financial advantage to it. And then social media will really complement that.
I think one of the things that you just mentioned that is really important to highlight about podcasting is the barrier to entry is incredibly low. I mean, on a financial, a time standpoint, in every single resource that you would need for creating quality videos or for writing a blog with long form content, it's different. It's easier. Wouldn't you say it's the barrier for entry is incredibly low?
The barrier is incredibly low. There's another thing too, for example, is if you're in front of a camera, you know, I just made a little slip on my words there, but if you're in front of a camera, you can't really let that go. People aren't going to be forgiving of you in a YouTube video being kind of, you know, messing up with your words. But we do that naturally when we talk all the time. And you'll notice that if you do videos. But when you do a podcast, you can kind of let that go. People are very forgiving. You don't need crazy expensive software. I know I'm overselling podcasting here, and I think it's important because there's a lot of people that aren't taking advantage of this incredible platform, and the entry is so simple. If you have a phone and you have a headset that came with your phone, you could start podcasting. It's really that simple. There's like my course will teach you some of that, but I don't really go for that simple of a method because I think that you need a desktop or a laptop. You should have an actual computer. It's going to make your life a lot easier. So if you have a computer and you have a headset that came with your phone, you are podcast ready. Like, of course, you could. I have a program that teaches you. There's a bunch of people that have programs and courses. And I could say mine's the best, and I personally think that. But there's a lot of great courses out there. Mainly what I'm saying, though, is that you don't even need a course. You could get started podcasting without a course. Of course, a program will help you expedite that process. But, you know, we all need to find our own places and spaces of what we need to get started. And I think a lot of people can get started without knowing a lot. And you could release a podcast. I'm at a point now, if you told me, Louis, start a podcast tomorrow, you have 5 hours. I would be ready to start a podcast and I could do it within a couple hour turnaround time and have all the stuff ready to go. And I could teach someone else how to do that that's never done it. Granted, you know, I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years, so I have all the skills and everything. So of course I can do it that quickly. But I bet you if I told a veteran YouTube guy, you know, you have this many hours to do a YouTube channel, they would be like, okay, I can do it, but it's going to be hard. Whereas for me, it's like, I can do it, no problem. So the barrier is very simple, and you don't need a lot of money, you don't need crazy equipment, and you don't need like an insane amount of education, and just go ahead and ask me anything else.
I'll go for it. You know, one of the things that I really have admired about how you run your podcasting business is that you've really reached out to big influencers that without a podcast or without a platform, it can feel like they're almost inaccessible. And I, even myself, in these couple of weeks have found that having a podcast gives you a platform to reach out to people and connect with influencers and experts that otherwise seemed out of your kind of playing field a little bit. And that's, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, when I first started podcasting, I was homeless. I was sleeping on my friend's couch. My life kind of felt like it came to, well, I didn't feel this way. It really was this way. But my life came to kind of, you know, I was in my late 20s at the time, and I had visions of the way that my life was going to be, like many people in their 20s maybe. And I guess I kind of reached a place where I had achieved a lot of those things, and then I just didn't know what to do with life anymore. I had had a partner for 5 years who and it cheated on me, and so that relationship ended. I'd had a dream job that was a contract-based job, and it was time-stamped. It wasn't like a contract that I could renew. It was a government-based contract for a project that had a beginning and a very clear end, and when it ended, everybody that worked there was done. Like, we all needed to leave, and the project was over. And that's where my life came to. So a dream job that was a contract that had been extended ended. A relationship that had been really wonderful, and I had an opportunity to co-raise and co-parent a wonderful boy. That relationship kind of came to a screaming halt with her not really being faithful to the relationship, and maybe me not being, you know, the best partner too. So, you know, it's, everybody wants to place blame, but I think that in all fairness, you know, she did something because she was hurting. So anyways, that relationship ended, job ended. Then I started dipping into finances, and my savings kind of went down, and I couldn't keep a job. I just, you know, you do a job that you absolutely love, it's very hard to have a job afterwards. You just, unless you find a job that you love again. And I wasn't able to find that job, you know, and then I ended up going and sleeping on my friend's couch, which is a very low point for me. Wonderful friend, but the thing about it was, in that dynamic of my friendship with this particular person, I'd always been the successful person. And now I was the guy sleeping on his couch, dependent on him to help me, you know, which is kind of hurts the ego a little bit and humbles you too. Maybe made us way better friends and made me less of a kind of, you know, egotistical about being the guy that had always been successful. So it was, you know, a humbling experience, but I also got to the place where I just didn't want to tell my friends and family I was not doing very well. So I didn't ask for help. And I ended up sleeping in my car a few times because I just, like, going to a friend's house, I didn't feel good about it. And then a few times I slept in a park in the winter, and things were just really low. And I was trying to start my own business, hoping that I could recreate a job that I used to have, but, you know, as a business owner. And during that time, I tried blogging, I tried all these different things, and I had a little bit of luck, but nothing really struck. And then one day this woman said, "Why don't you start a podcast? It would help you get your brand out so people hear your name more often. Because that seems to be your hardest thing, is people aren't finding you. And two, it would let you meet really famous people so that when other people see you with them, they might like you more, you know, or think higher of you." And I thought, that sounds amazing. So I went home and I had listened to a podcast here or there, but podcasting wasn't the way it is now. And I wasn't entrenched in a world where marketers and social media experts get together and talk about conversions and funnels and websites and that stuff. I was in a world where, you know, starting my own business was just kind of this new idea, and I was talking to people that worked offline. So I didn't know what a podcast was. I didn't know the potential, and I hated social media at the time. I thought Twitter was stupid to me. Facebook was like something that sometimes you post like what you ate there, or you look at something that your mom's been up to and you know you like it or comment or you message your cousin. So Facebook for me was a very personal tool and something that I didn't like that much either. And then you can forget the rest of social media, like Pinterest. Like, what the heck is that? Right. You know, please stay out of my life. you know, I won't. That's the way I felt about all social media, really. But podcasting sounded really cool. So I wrote this guy who'd been on Oprah 19 times, record setting. And I wrote a bunch of Oprah's guests because I was I wasn't particularly into Oprah, but her and I, you know, in some ways think a lot of like, in regards to people we really appreciate and admire. So I wrote to a variety of her guests. I wrote to people who are New York Times bestselling authors, and nobody responded, you know, but I kept going at it. And finally, about 2 weeks into this test of writing people, the guy who had been on Oprah responded to me and said, "Luis, I'd love to come on your show," which was really cool, you know, and I was very surprised by it, because you think this guy who's been on Oprah for so many, you know, so many times, he's been a New York Times bestselling author, multimillionaire, somebody that, you know, clearly like doesn't need my podcast. And if he Googled me, he would have found out that I didn't have a website. I didn't have a Twitter account. I had a Facebook page with like maybe 100 or so friends on there, and they were actually legitimately my friends, and I posted maybe once a month. So if he looked at me, he would have like been like, "Well, who is this Luis guy? He's not really online, and he doesn't even have a podcast." But he didn't. I guess he didn't Google me. So he came on my non-existent show that I was very excited to get going. We did an interview. It went amazing. And at the end of the interview, he said, "You know, Luis, you're a really great interviewer. And why don't you come out to New York to my 3-day event? I'll pay for you to come. We'll take care of your expenses. I'd love to meet you in person." So, all right, wonderful. So I came out there. I flew out there with my partner. We went to his event, which he took care of those expenses. And then afterwards, we talked for a little while. And mind you, I don't have a PhD, and this guy's a doctor. He's a PhD therapist, world renowned. And we talked for a little bit after the event, and he said, why don't you come down to Texas? We could use somebody like you to help with the nonprofit stuff that we're up to. Of course, you know, I'm not going to pay for you to, you know, it's a nonprofit, so I wouldn't be able to pay you. I wouldn't be able to pay for any of your expenses. But if you can come down, you can co-facilitate some of the classes with me and help translate and help teach. And that's really cool. And then, you know, I went back to my life back in Seattle and was posting about that and different interviews that I had done with people like Don Miguel Ruiz and a bunch of other famous people. And somebody who's a marketer saw it. And this was a fairly well-known marketer in certain circles. And he reached out to me and said, Luis, I'll pay you to help me do what you're doing because you're connecting with the kinds of celebrities and well-known people that would really make a difference for me if I knew them. But I'm not as good at it as you are. I don't know how to do it like you do. And at that time, I really was still very focused on being in the relationship world and being a coach. And I said, sure, I'll help you. You know, why don't you help me with my marketing and understand how to do this? So I started helping him. He started connecting with really famous people, and he wanted to really help me with my business. So he goes, you know, Luis, let's talk about your business. You know, how's it going? And I said, not very good, man. people like yourself are reaching out and they want me to help them. And I'm trying to learn how to do this marketing stuff, but it's hard. And he said, well, why don't you just give up the relationship world? You know, my wife is in that world. It's a very hard world to get into. And you have a really natural skill here with the way that you connect with other people. And a lot of people would pay you good money for the network that you've built and the relationships that you have and your ability to reach out to almost anybody. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to leave that. And he said, well, there's a lot of money in it. And if you want to, we can go into this together and I'll help you. I'll help you make money in this world. And I said, all right, okay, well, you know, I want your expertise. So sure. So I changed my mind and started really talking about how I was doing podcasting and how other people should get into podcasting. And you know, I'm a very like dive in head first kind of guy. So I just dove into his idea, like, sure, whatever, you know, like I'm doing really terrible with money in business in this area. So if this marketer who's doing, you know, 30, 40, 50 grand almost passively, and can build an extra 100 grand, with his business. And so he's making a lot of money every month, is telling me, do this. I'm going to listen to him because he probably understands how to make money. And that was very important. You know, if you're homeless, making money is of the utmost importance. So I started doing that. And this guy approached me and said, Luis, I'll pay you 10 grand to handle my podcast. And that sealed the deal for me. I completely left the coaching world and went into podcasting. And when I say coaching, life coaching, relationship coaching, and I went full on into podcasting, and I haven't looked back since then.
That's unreal. And I have to point out, going from being homeless to $10,000, that's like night and day difference. I mean, yes. I can't imagine how that first $10,000 felt. What was that like?
You know, it's a real game changer to be acknowledged for a skill. And it's incredible to go from being homeless to being able to travel the world, because one of the first things that ended up happening too is I ended up leaving the United States for 4 months to travel through Asia. I'd never done that, then traveled through the United States for another 3 months. And then I started speaking on stages soon after, created. Now I have, I think it's the third largest Facebook group for podcasters. Wow. So, you know, and this is in almost a 3-year span now that this happened. So a lot has changed for me. And I really thank podcasting for that, because I didn't even know that was where life was going to take me. So yesterday, you know, I was asked, did you imagine you'd be here? Because my birthday was on the 16th, and a friend asked me, you know, did you imagine that life would take you here? And I was like, no, this is not what I expected. I never expected I'd be in this house with you at this age and doing this as a living. And, in my 20s, I expected that I was going to get married to the girl that I'd been with for almost 5 years. And I expected I'd have a home with her, and I'd have a 9-to-5, job, and I'd be a professional, and That's what I expected because that's what everyone else around me had.
Right. Now, one of the things that I think is really cool about you in general is that you're willing to help others and you've really put together these natural talents that you have. And one thing I want to differentiate for my audience, for my listeners, is that for some people, these skills can really be learned, but some people have those types of skills and they're a second nature. It's a given talent. And I believe 100% that you have a natural talent for connecting with influencers and big people. Where did you learn that?
You know, I don't really know where I learned it. I think that maybe having those jobs where, you know, I used to work at Washburg, which is, I did that briefly, but I was very good at these jobs where you go out and you solicit people to give you money for nonprofit purposes. And I've been in the nonprofit world most of my working life, which has, you know, required me to really care about people, really reach out to people often and not be afraid of it. And I think maybe more than anything, that's where I got those skills. But also just, I just genuinely really care about people and people fascinate me. And I'm not very judgmental of people's lifestyles. And I think that also makes me very good at it. So, you know, I could have somebody who's, for example, I'm not big into guns, for example. I think guns are cool, but personally, inside my home, I don't have guns. I wouldn't mind having one. I just don't. It's not my thing. It's not something. I live in a major city. Like, having guns isn't something that's a part of probably living. I don't know. For some people, maybe it is. But the point is that I would be fascinated to talk to somebody who's, you know, part of the NRA and has a big collections of guns and really believes in that. And that's their thing. I'd be very fascinated. You know, so take a movie star, you know, somebody like Clint Eastwood. You know, I think Clint Eastwood and I are probably fairly different. He's a lot older than I am. He's, you know, he's a very kind of macho man. You know, he's a kind of like the typical, you know, masculine male of like the 50s or whatever. Whereas, you know, I'm more of a sensitive kind of guy and I don't have guns and I'm fairly different than he is. But I'd be very fascinated to sit down with him and talk to him about his, you know, viewpoints. And I'd love to go and shoot some guns with him and talk to him about his perspectives on life. And I'd be very fascinated. And if he handed me books, I'd be like, cool, I'll read them. But it's not just because it's Clint Eastwood. It could be my neighbor. And I think that's part of what makes me really good with this particular skill set of reaching out to people and getting to know people is that people, when they meet me, they feel disarmed. There's mm-hmm. nothing for them to defend. And there's just somebody who's just kind of like a curious boy who is so new to the world that he's just fascinated and ready to learn from that person. And I think that when you come across somebody like that, that's awesome. You know, do you feel like you feel like somebody is genuinely interested in you and wants to learn about you and isn't judging you? And is giving you the very thing that all humans seek, which is acceptance. And if you meet somebody like that, of course you want to sit down and talk to them.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what podcasting is. It's the ability to sit down and have a conversation, which is kind of beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And it's easy. You know, the thing I tell people is that if you can have a conversation with your friends and family, then you're good to go. Because having a podcast is not much different than that. You know, it's literally you just chat with people, and if you're afraid of hearing your own voice or you're afraid of not having enough things to say, well, look at what's happened here in this interview with Rachel. She has asked me one or two questions, and I've taken over 90% of the show.
I love
it. And that's
it.
Usually what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is one thing with podcasting. You definitely do have to get over what your voice sounds like, because that is one that kind of takes people by surprise. Your voice never sounds how you think it's going to sound. I know that that's one that has always surprised me. Every time I hear it, I'm like, what? My voice is that low? That's so crazy. So I want to touch base a little bit. This is kind of important to me because I think it's important for all of the listeners to understand how powerful podcasting has been, not just when you were first starting out, but I want you to talk a little bit about some of the biggest wins you've had besides that initial win. What are some of the major goals that you've accomplished using podcasting?
Well, one of the biggest major goals when I first started podcasting was to connect with people that were a lot more successful than me in their respective areas. Because when I first thought about a podcast, I saw potential there for business, but I really saw there more than anything a potential for me to get to know and learn from people that were highly successful and that normally would it would just be really unlikely that I'd spend time with them, you know. So the guy who wrote Dr. I can't think of his name right now, Dr. John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus,
yes.
You know, got a chance to sit down with him and interview him. You know, Jack Canfield, a variety, you know, just a wide variety of people. J.P. Sears, you know, the ultra spiritual guy who's hilarious.
Yes.
Got a chance to sit down with him as well and talk with them. And a lot of these people turn into my friends. I have this opinion that it's not just an interview, that if you do it right, that this interview will actually turn into business opportunities, friendships. It's going to be a lot more and go a lot farther in an interview if you use, you know, specific tactics to really kind of make sure that you're connecting with the person on a deeper level, which I'm really good at. So mm-hmm. I've really honed that skill. So I've done that, and that's been, you know, one of my biggest goals. Then my other goal is to make an impact and make a difference in people's lives. When I first got into podcasting, I had come from a nonprofit world. And when that woman suggested podcasting, immediately I thought, okay, yeah, like more people, I'll meet more famous people, which then more people will see me with them, which will help them trust me. But I also thought of all the very poor people that I'd worked with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, this is going to be another cool thing for them because they can't really afford my services now. Like I can't really charge people, you know, $15 an hour and try to run a business. It just doesn't work very well unless you have a crazy amount of clients and you just, you know, you're doing a lot more than what I was doing. But a single person running their own business can't charge $15 an hour for a client and not even make the client pay. Right. Because in a nonprofit world, the clients didn't have to pay me. It was a company paying me $15-16 an hour. So I thought, oh, this is going to be cool because, you know, they're just not as well read as I am. They don't have the education that I do. So through this podcast, I'll interview all the people that I wish they could learn from, and then they can listen to the interview. And so now I have content that is easily digestible and accessible to a lot of people, right? So if you're looking at thousands and thousands of listeners every single day to a show, you know, a certain small percentage of those people will buy a product from you, but you may have, you know, 3,000-4,000 listeners in one day and make 2 or 3 sales that day, or you might not make any sales that day, but maybe a particular listener will buy on a different day. But the point is that when you're creating content that people love and people are, you know, consuming and helps them in their lives, you may not make sales immediately from it, but you will make an impact. And you may not hear about that impact for a while. So, you know, just recently a guy messaged me and told me about how his show, this particular episode that I released, really helped him connect with his wife and really made him think about, you know, how special she was. And I gave some certain advice in there about how to connect with your partner in a game. And this is a couple that's been married for 30 years. And somebody, you know, this guy reached out and told me what an impact that show had. No sale was made. Not in that instance with this person reaching out and saying thank you, but you know what? It makes a huge difference to me that somebody felt touched enough that they listened to me talk about something for 30 minutes. Then they went to my website, found my name and email, and then wrote me an email and took the time to write it and then sent it off. And it's a pretty regular thing that I get that. You know, on at least a weekly basis, I'm getting messages from people that we've touched and made a difference in their life. And some of those people are people who are current clients, new clients, or will never become clients. And the biggest impact for me is that we're making a difference in people's lives.
I think that's so incredible. And something that you may not have even realized, but you know how you first started out in the relationship space? And that was where you were determined to build a business. Well, you didn't even necessarily mean to, but by delivering value through a podcast, you ended up delivering the exact value that you wanted to bring in your initial business efforts.
That's right. That is true.
It kind of comes full circle. So my question for you, and I think my audience is going to be really excited to hear about this. How did you go from putting a podcast on iTunes? I love the analogy you used. And one I like to say is if a podcast is put on iTunes and no one tweets about it, Is it actually there? You know, it's kind of like the whole tree in the forest thing. But obviously you have to drive traffic to your podcast one way or another. And social media is a great and free way to drive traffic to your podcast. So did you focus on one platform in the beginning, or did you expand across all of the different platforms and make yourself highly visible?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's a great thing. If nobody tweets about it, I think that's a great thing to say. So with me, when I first started, I didn't really know about too many other platforms other than Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so I focused on Facebook and Twitter. You know, now we're on Instagram. I have nearly 8,000 followers within a few months span of actually using Twitter, or I mean Instagram. You know, we've got a lot of followers on there, and you know, using Pinterest and all these different other places, and Periscope and so on. But when I first started, it was Facebook and Twitter, and that was it. I didn't. Not only that, it was just my partner and I doing the after a while, when things developed more, it was my partner and I doing the podcast. But when it was just her and I, even then, we still focused just on Facebook and Twitter. And then later we started expanding. So with Facebook, I didn't post all the time. I just made sure that I posted like once a day or two or three times a day with Facebook, because Facebook is something that people actually take the time to read, and the lifespan of a Facebook post and the quality expected from that is a lot higher, right? With Twitter, I had read that the average lifespan of a tweet is like 20 minutes. So most tweets don't stick around very long. Even when you look at tweets that are being done by celebrities and stuff, it's like, you know, we've had some huge names tweet us out. And, you know, a couple of hours and the retweeting and the liking and the commenting is done usually. You know, sometimes a few days later, there's still more, a little bit more action. But generally within the first hour is kind of like when a tweet is really hot. And then after that, it's not really that alive anymore, even with huge people that have huge, very engaged audiences. So I focus on Facebook only a few times a day. And then with Twitter, because I didn't really understand Twitter, because I wasn't big into Twitter, and because I don't like spending time on Twitter, I still don't. I tweeted about every 20 minutes. I just bought a program that, you know, recycles tweets and stuff. And there's a variety of ones, but my favorite one is I used to use Hootsuite for a while. I really wanted to use Meet Edgar. That's $50 a month. And again, I was so broke that $50 a month for something to tweet out for me was like ridiculous. So we got into a program called Post Planner, which I really like. It's $7 a month. And it will retweet for you, and you can set up your tweets to just, you know, consistently go back out and get recycled. And so with Twitter, tweet very often, share very often. I don't have a very engaged Twitter following, so we have like 32,000 followers on Twitter, you know, and we've gone through and, you know, added a bunch of like, you know, used a lot of methods that aren't exactly like going to win you the most engaged and super active. You know, like I don't go in there and chat with people, and I don't go in there and retweet often. And that's the thing, you know, your question that you asked me, was there a certain platform that I really loved? And it was Facebook. Facebook, even though I only had maybe like, you know, a couple hundred friends when I first started, soon and very quickly, people started friend requesting me on Facebook. And with Facebook, I could respond to everybody. I could go look at their pictures. I could see what they're up to. I could follow their website links. I could see who their friends were. So I felt very natural there. And I felt like it lent itself for me to really do quality networking. So I use Facebook like crazy. And I use not a fan page, just my personal page, because I didn't have money. So again, you know, if you have a fan page, you really kind of need to have some money behind it. Of course, there are organic methods to build fan pages, and I've heard of people that are very good at that. But there's very few people that I've heard that really crush it organically with a fan page. And I just didn't have the time to try to run a business, learn how to do a fan page, reach out to famous people, create content, produce the content, write blog articles that go with, you know. So I use Facebook in kind of the most natural way for me. And then Twitter, we used it like crazy. But we didn't invest in trying to build the most high quality Twitter account. And, you know, maybe at some point I'll go and I'll start trying to build it that way. But my advice for people with social media is start with one place that you absolutely love and get really, really good at it. So Facebook, I'm a machine in there. Like if I log into Facebook, you know, I can go in there and every morning I have, you know, something like nearly 100 notifications or so, you know, and this is just from my organic normal Facebook page. This isn't from a fan page. And I run several groups. I can be very active in other groups. So, you know, Facebook, I even created a course that teaches people how to use Facebook to make money because, organically, it can be quite a machine for people. And I, you know, I have clients who I've shown them how to use my methods and they're now producing an extra $10,000 a month. Or one of my clients within 90 days of taking my course generated $60,000 in income. Oh, and this is a guy who, works a 9-to-5 job, has two kids. And so he's not exactly like somebody that can sit there all day, but he used my methods and he made a lot of money. And then, you know, one of the guys is a chiropractor and he's figured out how to generate an extra 10 grand a month using Facebook organically. And, you know, now I follow him and I can go, oh man, he's really like taking advantage of all the methods I taught. And it's really exciting to see people do that. We have somebody else who teaches people how to get jobs and she's producing extra income, generating extra clients on a regular basis. So it's really cool and it's not complicated. And then now we've expanded, and so now I'm using Twitter a little bit more honed in. Right now, I'm really focusing on Instagram, so I'm really looking at what works with Instagram. And Instagram, unfortunately, is now getting to a place where it's like a lot of marketers are flooding to it.
Yes.
Which, when you if you are in business and you're in an online business, if a place gets flooded with a lot of marketers, it just makes it harder to get in there because now a lot more people are using a lot more strategies that kind of spam it up and make it as not as high quality. So that means users that could really become quality connections and clients are harder to find. They're less engaged with people that are newer. And so, you know, me being newer to Instagram is taking me a little bit more work to get in there. But I'm, you know, I'm starting to make my way, but I'm not focusing on other social media stuff like Pinterest, for example. Once a week, I go to my website and I Pinterest pin is what they call it, right? You pin all these images. So on Pinterest, you know, I have a couple boards and maybe once a week. So it's terrible. Like I'm sure a Pinterest expert, maybe you, Rachel, would have a lot of tips for me. But with Pinterest, I just like maybe once a week I go in and I click on a bunch of our images from our podcast and our blog and our website and different social media. And I pin the stuff to different boards. I don't ever log into Pinterest or use it. I just, all I'm doing is I'm passively building a little bit. So I have maybe like 300 followers on there. And I'm just kind of passively like, when I get to it, I'll get to it. But right now I'm focusing on Facebook, which is still my powerhouse, my bread and butter. I'm focusing on the podcast because it's 5 times a week show now. So there's a lot of content we're producing. And then we've gone to YouTube. We have a producer and we have over 50 videos now pretty much ready to go. And we release one video 1 time a week. So I don't have time to start, you know, going into how do I really make Facebook Live work, Periscope work. And the reason why I'm telling people this is because if you've been in this for a while or you're new, I think the same strategy applies is like focus on one place, start honing that place in. And if you want to, you know, think about other places, kind of passively touch those spots. You know, like every time I do something with Pinterest, I do find that I'm learning something new. Like, oh, okay, that's how you pin. Oh, okay, that's how you create a board. Right. But I don't go crazy with it. Like, let me read a blog article, crazy long blog articles, and let me connect with, you know, the people that are the biggest in Pinterest. Like, you bet that soon I'm going to start looking for the people that are generating thousands and thousands of dollars from Pinterest. And I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to become their friends. I'm going to interview them. And I'm going to find a way to help them accomplish one of their goals. Because what I find is I have skills that everybody wants.
Correct.
You know, and I don't mean that every single person, but a lot of people do, and they have skills. And so eventually I'll reach out and I'll make a connection. I'll buy their course. I'll go through their course and I'll reach back out. Like, you know, I'll be very methodical about it. And Instagram has been that thing for me. You know, I reach out to somebody that's doing very good with Instagram. We became friends and I, you know, nurtured that relationship. But if I was going crazy and trying to do it all at once, I would get overwhelmed. And I'm at the point where we're doing so much. I mean, a YouTube video one time a week is awesome. I'd like to get to a place where it's actually 3 to 5 times a week releasing a, like an awesome piece of content for YouTube. Wow. But with a five times a week podcast for me is enough right now. My goal right now is in the middle of maybe 2017. I would like to start producing 2 or 3 YouTube videos every week. And we batch those. So, you know, one day in a month, or we'll take 2 or 3 days in 1 month, record, you know, anywhere up to 50 to 100 new videos in one weekend, record them all, upload them to Google Drive, and then our editor will edit those and we'll just tell them, you know, create 2 videos a week or so. Right now, it's just create 1 video a week. But, you know, YouTube, In the world of content, the more content that you're producing, generally speaking, the more likely you're going to be found, the more fandoms you'll win. That's why we have a 5-day-a-week podcast, because that is a lot of content, which means that that's a lot of stuff I can tweet. That's a lot of stuff I can Facebook share. That's a lot of stuff I can add to Pinterest. And more people are likely to, you know, connect and find that. But when you're first starting, do a podcast one time a week. Then maybe when you decide you want to move up, maybe try it twice a week and see what works. You know, when you're first starting, maybe use one social media and tinker around with another one. But I tell people, don't overwhelm yourself, because you will burn.
Absolutely. I think these are great tips for anyone who is involved in podcasting, but really anybody who is in any industry. You know, focus on one and then expand to more.
Mm-hmm.
So you're up to a ton of great things, and honestly, I'm so excited to see where 2017 brings you. Where can people learn more about Podcaster's Secret Weapon and your other courses that you have going on right now?
Yeah, definitely. People can find me at thrivinglaunch.com. Everything that you need there, thrivinglaunch.com. Some of our free courses, we have free courses on podcasting, on how to make passive income, on how to use Facebook to generate clients and leads. So over there at thrivinglaunch.com, you can connect with anything. And if you decide that you want to write me an email or message me, please do so. I pride myself on being as available as possible. So I try to respond to every single email that I can if there's time. And I try to make time every day to respond to friends, family, fans, people that have been impacted and touched by me. So, you know, if you write to me, I'll consider you a friend. So I'll take some time to respond to you.
I think that's incredible. And all of the information for how to contact Luis and find Thriving Launch will be available in the show notes. Luis, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. Real honor to be here.
What an inspiring episode, right? Doesn't Luis just make you want to jump off of your couch and start podcasting? I know that talking to him had that effect for me, and that is exactly why The Rachel Peterson Show is around today. So I want you to do me a favor. Head on over to iTunes, and if you learned something from this episode, leave me a review and let me know exactly what you learned, what you enjoyed about this episode. I can't wait to read your review. I read every single one. And if you have any questions about anything from this episode, as always, be social, take action, and be prepared to make a massive impact.